Welcome to Jack Haley's Log Cabin Jamboree. The Log Cabin Jamboree, brought to you by the makers of Log Cabin Syrup, America's favorite and largest selling fine table syrup, with its rich, real maple flavor that gives your pancakes, waffles, and all such foods that final touch of deliciousness. Well, here it is toward the middle of Lent, and as one housewife told me...
You know, Warren, it takes a lot of planning to prepare three meals a day when you can't use meat.
That's right. And friends, let me remind you what a grand lunch or dinner you can have with waffles or pancakes as the main dish. During Lent, stir them often, of course, with Log Cabin syrup and its real maple flavor. Or try some French toast, nicely crisp and brown, again, made extra tempting with Log Cabin syrup. Remember, you can turn a light meal into a real dinner with hot biscuits cut in two, buttered, and served with Log Cabin syrup. Yes, treat the family through Lent and begin by getting Log Cabin syrup. And here he comes, camera in hand, that recent addition to the candid camera craze, that expert photographer who tells everyone to look at the birdie and winds up by getting it himself, Jack Haley.
Thank you, folks. Thank you, Warren, for that introduction. Now, hold still.
What's the matter?
I want to get a snapshot of you at the mic. Hold still now. There you are. Oh, that'll make a good picture. I got you with your mouth shut. And believe me, that's one for Ripley.
Well, maybe so, Jack. Well, what's the idea of bringing your camera into the studio?
Well, Warren, I thought I'd like to get a candid snapshot of the audience laughing at my joke.
That's one for Ripley, too.
That's so. Let me tell you, Warren, I've become quite an expert with this camera. Look, here's a picture I took of your head.
Oh, Jack, it isn't developed.
Warren, you're just self-conscious. But all joking aside, Warren, I've taken some very interesting pictures lately. Look, here is a picture of the Look at this here. Yes. California sun.
Look, California sun. That's just a picture of a big cloud.
How do you like that? It got away again.
Jack.
Yes, Wednesday.
Jack, I suppose you took a lot of pictures during the record-breaking rain last week.
Did I? Why, here's a very unusual picture of the Pacific Fleet holding their maneuvers.
Well, what's very unusual about taking pictures of battleships holding maneuvers?
They held them in my backyard.
Well, Jack, tell me, do you ever take any pictures of animals?
Certainly, Wendy. Remember my cat, Tabby?
Oh, that ferocious little thing you kept for pets? Of course I remember.
Well, here's a picture overlooking in my canary's cage.
Oh, well, gee, Jack, she certainly doesn't look ferocious here. I wonder what got into her.
My canary. What are you laughing at, Warren?
Even your cat got the bird.
Oh, gee.
Say, Jack, may I borrow your camera? I want to take a picture of you.
Why, Virginia, are you interested in candid cameras, too?
No, but a friend of mine who runs a beauty parlor wants to put your picture in the window.
My picture in a beauty parlor window? Oh, that's marvelous.
Isn't it, sir? Yeah, they want to use it with their slogan.
Well, what is their slogan?
Don't let this happen to you.
Boy, oh boy, am I exhausted from taking my uncle's picture.
What's so tiring about taking a picture, Ted?
I had to take it down four flights of stairs and hang it in the parlor.
Ted, we're talking about candid camera pictures.
Oh, I got candid camera pictures at home.
You have?
Sure. I got a picture of Mr. and Mrs. Dione taken with the quintuplets.
Well, what size is the picture, Ted?
5x2.
Ted, do me a favor, will you? And just hold that pose. Now, hold still. That's it. Oh, boy, what a picture. And scientists said it couldn't be done.
What couldn't be done?
They said nobody could take a picture of an absolute vacuum. If that's so,
well, I took one last week and there was nothing to it.
Oh, listen, Ted. Come in.
Mr. Haley, I'm from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Science.
Oh, yes, sir.
And I've come here to give you this special award that you so justly deserve for your splendid work in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Wait a minute. I wasn't in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
What?
Aren't you, Dopey?
Dead.
I know, Dopey. Up,
Dopey.
Down.
Ted Fiorito and the boys playing Tippy Tin. And incidentally, Ted, I want to congratulate you on your wonderful opening last Wednesday night at the Palomar. I'll bet you were thrilled.
Oh, it was all right.
Just all right? Why, look at that reception you got. Look at the big banner strewn across the street saying, "Greetings, Ted Fiorito and his jam band. Welcome, Ted Fiorito and his jam band."
Yeah, but look how they spell jam. H-A-M.
That's because you've been acting lately. Anyway, Ted, I did have a swell time, and I want to congratulate you. It was really a swell opening.
Thank you.
But, Ted, isn't it tiring on the musicians? They played so long.
Well, they have their time out. They go downstairs between times and play games.
They do? Well, I watched them all night, and there's one game that they didn't play.
What's that, Jack?
Follow the leader.
How do I look up there directing, Jack?
Well, fine, but I'd like to ask you something, Ted. I noticed all the other band leaders, when they direct, they keep moving their head up and down like this. But when you direct, you keep time like this.
Well, that comes natural to me.
Well, all I can say, Ted, is wherever you have the most brains, use them.
Didn't you like the line of Ted Fiorito chorus girls in the show?
Well, there were certainly plenty of girls there, Ted.
Yeah, they were over 65.
They sure looked it.
How can you say that, Jack? Why, that girl on the end was elected queen during the California prune week.
She should, with all those wrinkles. Boy, is she homely. Is she homely. But she has nothing to worry about. She'll never die.
No?
No, she'll just ugly away.
You mean the girl on the end?
Yes.
I don't agree with you, Jack.
Then why did you take her out of the line?
She was tired. She fell down twice.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't take the one out in the middle, or they'd all fall down.
Yeah, you can kid, but every big band leader in Hollywood was present.
Yeah, I noticed that, Ted.
Guy Lombardo walked over to the platform and shook my hand.
Yeah, that was nice, Ted.
And then Phil Harris walked over to the platform and he shook my hand.
Oh, that was swell of Phil.
Then Paul Whiteman walked over to the platform.
And shook your hand?
No, he shook the platform.
Oh, Ted, don't let Jack kid you. Really, I had a swell time at the Palomar the other night.
Yeah, I noticed you, Virginia, and you certainly danced enough with Warren Hull. You never think of me anymore.
Oh, don't be silly, Jack.
Well, the only dances I had with Warren were the moonlight dances, you know, when they turn out the lights and you hug and kiss your partner.
Oh, well, that's different. I thought you had those snappy dances. Oh, that's different.
And, Jack, I was certainly proud of you last night. I didn't know you could do the Big Apple so well.
Oh, it's nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, don't be modest, Jack. After all, you won the first prize, didn't you?
Yeah, well, it was nothing.
Nothing? Well, you were doing twists and turns and bends and steps I've never seen before. Say, did that come from taking lessons?
No, from wearing woolen underwear. Oh, Wendy, how did you enjoy yourself at Ted's opening at the Palomar?
Oh, fine, Jack.
Say, who was that very short fellow you were dancing with? He looked funny dancing on the floor with you.
Oh, him? Well, he didn't know how to do the Big Apple, the little worm, and he was trying to wiggle his way out of it.
Oh, very good. Wendy, I want to tell you this. Oh, pardon me. Come in.
Mr. Fiorito?
Yes?
Well, I was at the Palomar for your opening night, and I think the appearance of your band could be improved quite a bit.
Really?
Yes. Those costumes, the pants are all right, but you haven't the right kind of jacket. If you use the kind of jacket I suggest, it will not only improve the appearance of the orchestra, but it will help the music.
Well, what kind of jackets are they?
Straight jackets.
Dead! I know. Up, down.
Honey, get out your tuxedo and come with me. We're gonna step in a highbrow society, doing the platinum plated, sophisticated swing. Yes, and there'll be an orchestra playing the latest hit while we're swinging and swaying down at the Ritz, doing the perfectly mated, sophisticated swing. Mind, we must dance refined. Still, if you're inclined to go to town, we'll go, dear. Honey, we're gonna go through it in style deluxe, and we can just about do it on $7. Doing the newly created, sophisticated swing. Oh, there'll be an orchestra playing the latest hit while we're swinging and swaying down at the Ritz, doing the perfectly mated, sophisticated swing. And honey, mind, for we must dance refined. Still, if you're in time to go to town, we'll go, dear. Honey, we're gonna go to it in style deluxe, and we can just about do it on $7. Doing the newly created, sophisticated swing.
That was Virginia Barrow singing Sophisticated Swing. And now, Warren Hull.
Thanks, Jack. Friends, let's take a peek into the lives of a typical American couple. Three quick scenes. The first, evening.
Dear, you haven't been looking any too well lately. What's the matter? Is your work bothering you?
Well, I haven't been going so well at the office. I don't seem to have much spark lately.
Well, you don't feel really bad, do you?
Oh, no. Just not so hot, that's all.
Scene two, at the phone.
No, not really. No, he just complains of not feeling up to snuff. Sleep? Oh, plenty. For breakfast? Well, orange juice and coffee. Sometimes a little toast. Well, he's always in a hurry, and he never seems to...
Well, now, try having him take time to eat a real breakfast. Mornings are when he needs the energy, you know, to set him up for a day's work. Give him a real solid breakfast for a week, and let me know.
Scene three, breakfast, 1 week later.
Well, Bob, how do you like having a real breakfast?
Well, I'm feeling a lot better. Guess that's what I needed, a real breakfast. Say, how about having pancakes and log cabin syrup again tomorrow?
Friends, that's a tip I'm pretty sure your doctor would give you, too. It stands to reason that when you're active, at work, at play, at school, or at home, you need morning energy, the foundation a good breakfast supplies. Cut down a bit on dinner at night if you need to, but by all means, have a breakfast that'll really stay by you. And there's nothing better for such a breakfast than pancakes or waffles and log cabin syrup. For that's the kind of real breakfast your family will like best.
Oh, Virginia, come here a minute.
Yes, Jack.
Listen, Virginia, there's a brand new expression that is catching on.
Is that so?
And it's really grand, spreading through the land. We don't call it sparking, that old word is gone. Here's the latest way, and this is what we say. Let's pitch a little woo.
Well, what is it, something new?
All you need is some sky or a pretty harvest moon. Then pitch a little woo.
All right, Jack. I'll pitch a little woo. If you'll just show me what to do.
I'm a little closer, dear, and get your heart in tune. Then pitch a little woo.
Ooh, I want a woo. I want a woo, Bill and Sue. When we were there, stars are bright, and the moon is high on a lovely night. I want a woo.
Let's pitch a little woo. Like lovebirds always do.
Snuggle up and cool, my dear, our hearts are both in tune.
Let's pitch a little woo.
Horse and buggy, sweetheart, just a spark for a while.
Love doesn't change, it's always been the same.
Ah, but now you take your honey out and park in the dark.
It's romancing, but it has a different name.
I want a woo, just you, I do.
Oh, love is grand, and I think you're cute. Let me hold your hand while the horns all toot.
Let's pitch a little woo.
That was Virginia Verrill and yours truly singing Let's Pitch a Little Woo. And now, ladies and gentlemen... Hello?
Mr. Haley?
Yes, sir?
This is Dr. Charles Pinkus, the dentist.
Quiet, quiet!
Mr. Haley, you've just got to help me.
What's the matter?
Quiet! I'm in trouble, Mr. Haley. You've got to help me. I just gave a patient an overdose of laughing gas, and I can't stop him from laughing.
Well, how can I stop him from laughing?
Please tell one of your fairyland stories.
All right, I'll tell a fairyland story. Today I'll tell a story of my great-great-great Scotch granduncle, Horatio Jock McCaley, the closest relative I ever had. As the story opens, Horatio is moody, morose, melancholy. They're a wee bit cheap on the music there, aren't they? Well, Angus, the bill for gasoline are driving me down.
Aye, Horatio. It must be a considerable expense.
It is that. Gasoline. Every day I have to keep filling it.
Then what are you going to do, Jock?
Well, if they don't bring down the price of gasoline, I'm going to sell my cigarette lighter. By the way, Angus, what month is this?
Ah, it is August, the hottest month in the entire year.
Aye, then I better throw out my Christmas tree. And I'll be begging you not to be bothering me now. I'm getting ready to move. I'm not going to pay the landlord any more rent for this broken-down place. The cheapskate.
Is it really a cheapskate?
Cheap. Would you believe it, Angus? Every time it rained, the water came in through the holes in the ceiling. So I complained.
And what did he do?
He put a shower curtain around it. Will you answer the door, Angus? And if it's a beggar, ask him for something first.
Aye.
Ah, 'tis your daughter, Bonnie. She comes a-weeping, Jock. Oh, come here, lass. If he must weep, weep over the geraniums. They could do with a bit of water.
Very well, Feather, but 'tis a very sorry lass I am. You will not let me marry my own true love, Bonnie Dougal MacGregor of the Clan MacDougal.
Away with you, lass. You cannot marry the man. I want you to marry Squire Chester MacCracken of the Clan MacIvanhoe.
But, Feather, he is a widower.
A widower?
Aye, he's got 16 children.
Great Scott,
Oh, but it's Boone Dugan McGregor that I love.
Ah, he is a confirmed spendthrift. And I'll no be having a spendthrift in this family.
What makes you think he's a spendthrift, Sather?
Well, I saw the crazy loon put a penny in a slot machine the other day.
But, Sather, he got his correct weight, his horoscope, the daily paper, a picture of himself, and a lottery ticket.
Aye, lassie, but he did not get no gum. I'll have no part of such a wastrel.
Aye, Sather, but he's got such a good mind. He's found a new use for old razor blades.
What does he do?
He shaves with them.
That joke makes me shit. You let me tell you something, lass. Hello?
Hello, Jack. This is your son Bruce calling for America.
Hoot, mon aye, Jack. It'll cost you $10 a minute for this phone call.
Well, didn't you fret, Fraser? I've taken care of that. I've got Floyd Gibbers here to speak for me. Take it away, Floyd.
Hello, Jack McKinney. Goodbye.
Sold to the Log Cabin Syrup Company. Aye, tis a smart lad, that Bruce. Stay in.
Mr. McKinney, I am McGregor McSniff McStrudel.
Well, make yourself at home.
McSon, I have, my Scotch is weak. I have McWelcomed many McBig people and have given them the McKee to this McCity. And now, Mr. McHaley, after McListening to you on the McRadio, I McThink that you deserve a McKee.
A McKee to the city?
No, a McKee Finn.
Come, lassie, we shall go. Today is a great day in my life. We are going to sign the contract for your marriage to Squire McCracken. Come, Bonnie. All right, daughter. Climb into the carriage. Giddyup.
Peter, are you sure the Squire will be home? I heard he went on a vacation.
Aye, lass, but it was a Scotch vacation he went on. He stayed at home and let his mind wander. Ho, ho, ho. Well, here we are, lass.
Welcome, Jock McHaley and your bony daughter.
Said, that's Bonnie, daughter, not bony.
Well, Jock McHaley, to certainly a brow brick, moonlick, nick, snick.
You said it. Aye, and this is a beautiful place you have here, Squire.
Thank ye. And here is a little gift I have bought for my promised bride, a radio.
Oh, tis a lovely radio, Squire.
Aye, and I get the police calls on the short ways. Listen.
Calling all cars. Calling all cars. A desperate criminal is running loose on 7th Street. Proceed down 8th Street at once and capture him. That is all.
That is strange. Why send the cars to 8th Street if the criminal is on 7th Street?
8th Street is downhill. It's the way of God.
I hope the criminal does not come here. He sounds very desperate.
If he comes here, I will take care of him. Hootman, let us sign the wedding contract. Time's a-wasting.
That's a good idea, Squire.
Stop, Peter. I cannot go through with it. I do not love the Squire.
Love has nothing to do with it. I have a lot of rice left over from your sister's wedding, and it's beginning to spoil.
I do not see why you do not love me, Bonnie. Do I not look handsome in my nice new kilt?
Aye, Squire, but you should not have been so extravagant. You should have got enough material for a tablecloth, too.
This is the tablecloth I'm wearing.
Well, let us get through with the signing of the contract. If there is anyone here who knows any reason why this contract should not be signed, let him speak.
Stop! I speak in behalf of Duncan McGregor of the Clan of McDougal, the bravest Scotch Highlander in these here parts. He comes new to stop this marriage.
He does, eh? Well, look at him. Are you Dunkel, the Scotch Highlander?
I'm not Yonkel, the Coney Highlander.
Away with you, knave. You are not the same clan as we.
Oh, peace, pass, and a hooch man to you, old-timer. I'm a real Scot.
Are you a Highland Scot or a Lowland Scot?
A boy Scot.
Aye, then that is in your favor.
It is my own true lover, Donkel, who speaks better. This is the man I love.
Put man, I will have no part of him. What brings you here, Donkel?
Well, I hear that Bunny is going to marry the squire, so I brought her a present.
Ah, a present, Donkel? What did you bring?
Ah, that is a surprise, Lissy. Do you like pearls?
I love pearls.
All right, then here's for you an oyster, and I wish you luck.
Tell me, Donkel, what makes you think you are worthy of marrying my Bonnie's daughter? Do you have much money?
Oh, no, Jack McKinley, but I have got an invention. It will make for me a fortune.
You have?
Yes.
What is the invention?
It's a Scotch mouse trap.
A Scotch mouse trap?
Yeah, ma'am.
What is it?
Well, it's guaranteed to get the mouse before it gets the cheese.
You couldn't have called it a Scotch mouse trap. A Scotch trap uses mice for bait and catches a geese.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
But you sound like an intelligent man. I'll tell you what I'll do. The one who has the most to offer my bonnie daughter can have her hand in marriage.
That's fair enough for me.
Yeah, man, fair enough. Push, man.
Now you, Dunkel, what can you offer my daughter?
He asked me what I can offer his daughter.
Aye.
I can offer her Scotch broth, deep broth, hot broth, chicken broth, haystack, corn stack, whip stack, tail stack, side burn, sun burn, wind burn, heart burn, steel stack, wheel. Bed fight, gas fight, steam fight, water fight, good scotch, bad scotch, hot scotch, butter scotch, scotch bora, marbora, wheel bora, eating bora, jam, slam, jam, lamb. Jam, fine, bunny, lorry, scotch bunny doesn't live here anymore.
Not bad, Dunkel. Now, what can you offer, Esquire?
Where she will sleep, nobody knows. She'll go without food, she'll go without clothes. But she shall have music wherever she goes.
That's not enough. I hereby give the bonnie hand of my bonnie daughter, Bonnie, to Bonnie Dunkel. Who just went by on horseback?
Bonnie Google.
Enough of this. I wish you a lot of happiness, children. And I'm going to give you your wedding gift, and here it is. A container of log cabin syrup.
Look, wait a minute, Jack. Fun. Is that the kind of a dowry you're going to give me?
Yeah.
We can't live off that.
Don't be silly, son. I've been living off it for the last 6 months.
Ladies, just as soon as this program is over, take a vote among the men folks and the children in your family. Ask them what they'd like for breakfast tomorrow morning. I'll wager it'll be pancakes or waffles and log cabin syrup. Pancakes or waffles, because that's the favorite real breakfast in America. Log cabin syrup, because that's the favorite fine table syrup in America. So for Sunday breakfast tomorrow, plan to have pancakes or waffles, and if you haven't got log cabin syrup in the house, why not plan to get some right away?
This is Jack Haley, your man Saturday, asking you to be my pal Sunday by using log cabin syrup on your pancakes and waffles. So good night from Wendy Barry, Virginia Verrill, Warren Hall, and Ted Fiorito. Until next week, when again you'll be...
Eastern Standard Time. One half hour with, believe it or not, Bob Ripley, and at 8:30, another Log Cabin Jamboree broadcast from Hollywood, starring Jack Haley.
Included on the program tonight with a selection, She Shall Have Music, from the production of the same name, and Thank You for a Lovely Evening from the Palais Royal Review. This is the National Broadcasting Company.